Hi, this is Debbie Hodge with the final three lessons from Tension, Story, Focus, and Flow. These three lessons focus on focus and flow. The focal point's the center of a design. This doesn't necessarily mean that it's the vertical or the horizontal center, although it could be, but rather that it's the most important part or parts of a piece. Without some variation in emphasis among the elements on your page, everything takes on the same level of importance, and the viewer has to find some way into your page on their own. When emphasis exists, though, the viewer's eye is drawn to a starting point and then, with some good flow management, knows where to continue. The result is the viewer gets what your page is about. There are many ways to create emphasis and hierarchy, and we're going to dig into three important aspects of focus and flow design that we often find scrapbookers aren't leveraging when we workshop with them. Three tried and true ways to create focus on the scrapbook page include appeal, contrast, and structure. You can create a focal point by using appeal when you have something like an engaging photo, an appealing element, or a decoration of the focal point. Both Proud and Happy Tourist and the Batgirl have subjects looking right into the camera and smiling. What's more, they're embellished with these talk and thought bubbles. That embellishment doesn't have to be a talk or a thought bubble. That just happens to be that way. It could be a dimensional flower or a really cool graphic arrow or any number of eye-catching embellishments. In addition to appeal and decoration, you could just have a really engaging, appealing, touchable element, as Lisa Dickinson has on Favorite Photos, with this big old bow that has lots of lift and texture to it, and it overlaps her three photos and it becomes the focal point of the page. Contrast is another tool for creating a focal point. You have contrast when you have differences. And the bigger the differences, the more noticeable and eye-catching. Go-to contrast approaches for creating focal points include differences in value, color, and size. Contrast works because differences that stick out draw the viewer's eye. Emily's photo on fly is the darkest item on the page, and it's without color, and both of these contrasts make it stand out. The title work on My Wagon Hill is big and bold, and it's got the largest spot of red on the page, and it's coupled with the largest photo. Another tool for creating focal points is to use structure, though structure is a more subtle and complex way of building draw. Some ways to use structure for emphasis include 1. Paying attention to line. The human eye and mind is going to follow the natural order of things, and the eye will follow a sequential pattern, the eyes of the people in your photos, a line of perspective or implied motion in your photo, and you can see zigzag lines running through It's a Meatball right through the focal point photo. You can also get a focal point with structure with isolating white space, as you see here on Wagon Hill. And you can also use it with balance or the rule of thirds. When it comes to balance, if you have a symmetrical design, it's going to more likely put your focal point right at the center, whereas asymmetry can muddy your focalization. The rule of thirds refers to the idea of laying a tic-tac-toe board across your document and putting your focal point at one of those intersections. I've talked about how each of these have structural components to their focal strength, but notice that with each of those, there's a lot more than structure going on. In addition to the isolation here on Wagon Hill, we've also got the largest photo, we've got high contrast with the background, we've got the high contrast and draw of the title. The photo on You Relate is the page focal point, and we looked at this layout earlier when we were talking about shapely journaling and title work and about telling a story, and now we're going to hit on yet another part of its strength. Check out the legs of those cousins. They're all pointing down to the journaling and the title. All these legs, all these lines, right on down to that. If I had put the photo down here, I'd have missed the opportunity to emphasize my written story. An oversized photo on Shooting Lessons shows two figures in motion at the bottom right corner. One's throwing a clay pigeon to the left side and the other's shooting in that direction. So the eye wants to go up here. Smaller photos, journaling, and title work all sit in the path of that action. The focal point on Emily Pitt's fly is her photo. It's both the darkest and the brightest spot on the page, and it's cropped in close on Emily's face. Her eyes direct the viewer's eye over here to her message and her journaling. And this is the part where you find out who you are. We're drawn into the story because of her accomplished use of following the lines in her photo. The second lesson in this section also has to do with flow. We find that while many scrapbookers pay attention to flow, they don't always create the best flow for their story. Make it your goal to encourage and guide the viewer's eye to enter into your composition by setting up flow that traverses rather than surrounds the elements. Take a look at two versions of Midterms Week. On this first, there are three embellishment clusters and three bright spots of yellow that guide the eye around the page. They create a visual triangle, but most importantly, that visual triangle crosses the important parts of the composition. If just one of those spots were moved, we'd miss out on some of the story. If I took this yellow flare here and moved it up here, I'd still have a triangle, but I wouldn't be getting to this photo as completely as I am with it crossing the path right now. If this cluster were moved over here, we'd miss this photo of my son cooking. You can also do this kind of thing with diagonal flow, with zigzag flow, with circular flow. The one kind of flow I want to encourage you to avoid would be a four-square kind of arrangement that goes around your items, the circles around the outside. So be careful not to set up this kind of four-square arrangement. And check even to see that you haven't inadvertently added some fourth element that's throwing off your original flow. You might think you have a visual triangle, but perhaps there's some yellow in your photo that's ending up making it a four-square kind of arrangement. So you would say, well, but yeah, the viewer is going all around this page. The problem is they're going around it, but they're not entering into it. And in fact, these lines, I mean, these aren't literal lines on the page, but the eye can make these connections. These lines can actually be barriers. I might actually want to enter in and boing, come right back out. Especially if you've got a smaller cluster of a smaller block of photos and larger clusters, they can really box it right in there. The other thing that you get with this situation is you've got a regularity with four items. The mind, the eye, likes threes. They like asymmetry. This creates more regularity rather than energy. This isn't a terrible page, but it's not optimal either. These even number of points, the box around it can really make things clunky, whereas a design that goes through the elements is more successful. And now I'm ending the class with our final lesson, which is a really important one, and that is be one way and not the other. By this I mean make your placements, create your contrasts, establish relationships in your design with purpose and intention. And this goes back to things we've talked about throughout this class. There's a lot of things I suggest you do. Whenever you do any of them, do them with purpose and intention. Be clear about what you're doing, don't make it waffly, and do it so that it makes sense. As an example of being clear, an element should clearly be bigger than, smaller than, or equal to the item next to it. And so if I asked you, taking a look at my page here, which one of these pictures is bigger, well, I know this one's smaller than these two, but I'm not sure which of these is bigger. It's not totally absolutely clear, and I think we'd get different answers from different people. Be clear not only with your size differences, but your color and value and texture differences. Be clear with your alignments or non-alignments. Be clear with your groupings or non-groupings. Just be clear. And if we come back to this example and take a look at the second version, okay, this photo does, I think, look bigger than these. It's clearly separate from them. There's clearly separation now. It's isolated with white space. We do know that it's the focal point. But just a little bit more tweaking and we really know. It is the biggest. It's grouped with Wagon Hill. It's got this white foundation behind it, whereas these have dark frames. It's clearly different. Not only is it clearly different, there's reasons for it being clearly different. This is the purposeful part of things. And the reason that you need to be clear and purposeful is because if things aren't clear, the viewer gets confused. And then they lose your trust in you and your message, and they don't know what to pay attention to. So you don't have that kind of impact as a storyteller and visual designer when you're not clear. So be decisive and convey confidence when you place things, when you make contrasts, and when you make visual relationships. One really important thing you can do toward being clear, toward achieving that goal, is to avoid arbitrary contrasts. Do this by limiting the number of contrasts on your page. Do this by going big with the contrasts that you do include. And do this by clearly establishing a norm and thus the exception. We're looking at a first version of my page, Finding Snow, and it's got a lot of contrasts. Each of the three photos are a different size. The two title words are in different typefaces, cases, and materials. The photos and the paper and the title work are all tilted at a bunch of different angles. It's too much contrast, and the result is confusion. Now take a look at the revised version of Finding Snow. With one photo clearly larger than the others, the viewer knows that it's important. With two smaller photos tilted and overlapping, they're united in a supporting group that adds interest to the linear design. The title works rendered in two strongly contrasting faces, but they're grouped together now, overlapping one another, and the focal point photo, thus cementing their relationship and establishing where the viewer's eye should start. The clarity of the norm and the contrasts make a stronger design. So I'll finish up this idea of being one way and not the other by pointing out that you should don't be different just because. Make your contrasts for a reason. And I've got an example here, this first version of To the Woods. The contrasts here don't make sense. They don't emphasize what's important or downplay what's secondary. This large deer embellishment is really cute, and it has to do with the woods, but why is it so big? And why are the words to the so much bigger than the woods? The photo of my friend with her daughter is emphasized by its close-in crop and its size and the fact that it's in color, but the story of this page is not about them. It's more about our group outing to the woods, which are behind the farm. The two photos in the right are on black and white, and they're smaller, but why are they smaller, and why are they in black and white? Yeah, they're supporting photos, but so is this one. So shouldn't they be equally weighted or more equally weighted? With this photo in the center being emphasized because it's the story of hiking out from the farm to the woods. So I've got a new version of it, and the contrasts here make a lot more sense. Woods is now the key word in the title, and it tells the viewer where the hikers are going, and it makes the embellishments relevant. Emphasizing it with size contrast and embellishment gives it the key role it should have. All three supporting photos are now the same size and partially desaturated, and the deer is smaller too. When the number of contrasts are reduced, it's easier to find entry into the page and make sense of everything. The contrasts that are there now support the story being told. To recap the focus and flow section, you learned that a viewer needs a way and a reason to enter into your scrapbook page. Creating a compelling and decisive focal point and flow is the way you involve and please a viewer. To that end, use the lines and the movement in your photos to strengthen both flow and focus. Use them to move the eye around the page and emphasize elements in their path. Secondly, encourage and guide the viewer's eye to enter into your composition by setting up flow that traverses rather than surrounds the elements. Finally, make placements, create contrasts, establish relationships in your design with purpose and intention.